How great would this be if this just played every morning when you woke up? This is your personal theme song. This should be the I Seem Fun theme song. No offense, Jingle Joe. This is going to be my new plug music. This is just the plug intro. People, I need your attention. I am taping my comedy special for a very, very huge place. But I'm not allowed to announce who it's with until it's ready to air. But it's at the North Door in Austin, January 31st. There's a 7 p.m. show and a 9:30 p.m. show. Tickets are only $10. I hope you guys can come. If you've seen me before, you might hear some repeat stuff, but this is going to be a screaming wild fun taping that I want you all to be part of. Tickets are available at jenkirkman.com. Just click on tour dates. I'll be at the Laughing Skull Atlanta in Georgia Thursday the 22nd through Sunday the 25th. That is 6 shows. It's a really small place. It only holds about 65 people. So that means 300-ish of you in Atlanta can come see me. I hope it sells out. If it doesn't, I'm quitting comedy. So please get your tickets now so that I'm not humiliated. That's jenkirkman.com. Click on tour dates. I will also be at the Oklahoma Contemporary Performing Arts Center Wednesday, January 14th at 8 p.m., like as in this Wednesday, as in like right now. Only one show. It's all ages, so get tickets. I feel like I've been advertised that a lot. Again, that's jenkirkman.com. Click on tour dates. And then I'm in Hyenas in Dallas, Texas, Thursday, January 15th through Saturday the 17th. Thursday, the show is free. It always is. So maybe I'll fuck around a little more, have fun. Then Friday and Saturday, I've got 4 shows. Please come support Hyenas. They're a great club. They were so nice to bring me there. Again, jenkirkman.com. Tour dates. Uh-oh, we're going to start that one up again. Uh-oh, how do I plug without the music? Can I do it? Yeah. I think that's it for January. And then I just need to let you know that right now on sale, I am at Helium Comedy Club in Philly. One of my favorite places to perform. I haven't been there in a while. On Valentine's Day weekend. So if you're single, come out alone. Who cares? I'm there alone. And then, if you're in a couple, come out and laugh. Come out and laugh instead of stuffing your faces. Right? So those tickets are on sale now, jenkirkman.com. Click on tour dates. This is rescheduled from last year when I was supposed to be there on Valentine's Day weekend. So let's all be there together, shall we? I think that's all I need right now. I need you guys to come to Austin. I know you're there because I've come there so many times before. This is the big one. We're pulling it out. I promised you I would tape my special there if I ever did, and I'm coming through my promise. I hope you can attend. I need about 600 of you. Alrighty. Enjoy this episode.
I see the fun. The Diary of Jen Kirkman
Seem Fun, episode 81. I didn't even have to look that up because I'm on top of it. I'm on top of it, finally. Madonna and I both have terrible voices, but for different reasons. So it's such a bad song to pick. But I love this song. I've been, I'm in Charlotte. Where am I? I seriously don't know where I am. I know I'm in Charlotte. But last night I thought I was in Buffalo.
Something's coming over.
By the time you hear this, I won't be in Charlotte. Wow, that's fascinating, Jen. How do you play with time like that? But I'm in my hotel room, which means I'm working out on the treadmill at the hotel, which means I listen to my treadmill songs playlist. It's mostly Madonna, and it's mostly older Madonna. And yesterday I could be found on the treadmill singing Ray of Light at the top of my lungs, which is a really hard song to sing, and I wouldn't even call what I was doing singing, but I was making sounds to Ray of Light. I used to have a fear of that song. I talked about it on my, I think my first comedy album called Self Help, which is so old, it's ridiculous. But that's okay. Comedians, unlike bands, no, this isn't true either. Comedians ebb and flow, but definitely an album I recorded when I was only set like 8 or 9 years into comedy would not be as good as the stuff I do now. Like, it's just, even like, it's not even about the material, like the delivery. I mean, it is about the material, but not just about the material. The delivery changes, the demeanor changes, the timing changes. I'm just not the person I was when I recorded that album. I don't even mean personally, even if everything in my life stayed the same. I'm not the comedian I was when I recorded that album. So I don't personally recommend it because it makes me sick to listen to, but I understand that some people like it and there are funny things on it to them. Not that I don't stand by the material. It just doesn't, that doesn't seem like it was even me. Anywho, I had a story on there that I talked about how I used to love the Madonna song Ray of Light, which, if you don't know it, kind of sounds like this. It's my favorite. All right, hang on. I'll tell you the story in a sec. So I used to have a fear of this song because when I lived in New York, I think it was like in the late 90s, right? Like, the song came out in 98, so it must have been 99 this happened. This guy pushed a girl in front of the subway and she died. But he wasn't a murderer, you know, by trade. he was a schizophrenic. He heard voices in his head and the voices told him to kill. And he had gone off his meds. And I remember reading this, like, enormous article about him because it kind of brought up the discussion of how we treat mental health in this country and how you can get treatment, but eventually you have to go home. And they just send a letter to your house, like, time to refill your meds. And it's like, if you're that sick, you're not going to refill your meds. And so he was off his meds. And what he liked to do for fun in the city was on his Discman, listen to Ray of Light by Madonna over and over and Power Walk, which is exactly what I loved to do around New York City. And so I thought, do I have the mind of a murderer? And so he was listening to Ray of Light when he decided to push the girl, or just before, and he thought he was getting messages from the song. And you know what? To be honest, I don't blame him. It's kind of a trippy sounding song. Like, if you're going to think you're getting messages from any Madonna song, I think Ray of Light is like one of the top three. It's kind of like spacey. So anyway, it scared me from listening to that song for a long time because it made me feel like, what if, not what if I'm getting messages, but what if I go nuts someday and I start to get messages from songs? I guess it's like a little OCD of mine. So, but now I'm no longer afraid of it. My attitude is, I don't even have an attitude towards it. I just got over the fear. So anyway, so in case anyone was like, wait a minute, you're listening to Ray of Light. I remember that from your album that you were afraid of that song. Well, a lot has changed since then, everybody. So, hello, welcome to I Seem Fun. I am in Charlotte, North Carolina, as I've said 20 times. And, all right, so this is what I was going to say. I was going to talk about Madonna today, which is why I was playing her music. So I don't like her new album, Rebel Heart. And I also, there was that controversy. So if you Google it along with me, if you Google the cover of her album, Rebel Heart, which is her new one, she's got this like black twine or string like all over her face. It's not covering her mouth. I'm not exactly sure what it's supposed to represent, but I've always thought of Madonna as like, you know, she got her start in New York, and I feel like she's got a little like artist, performance artist vibe in her, and always changing. I think she's fantastic. I love most things about her. But so the album's called Rebel Heart, and so she's like putting stuff on Instagram and Twitter, like hashtag Rebel Heart, you know, and I don't know if she personally does her Instagram. I mean, I doubt it, right? But I don't, I mean, I'm sure even if she has someone doing it for her, I don't know, like, if she has to approve it or she's sitting right next to someone and she's in the makeup chair and she says to her assistant, oh, put this Rebel Heart picture up or something. But so people have been doing things to that image with the twine and the black rope around the face and putting other people who've been Rebel Hearts. Like, she did one for Jesus, and for some reason, that didn't cause an uproar. It wasn't offensive, because Jesus is a, I mean, whether you see him as a historical figure or the Son of God or God himself or whatever, it's so kind of long ago and ethereal and like conceptual in a way. We're just like, oh, Jesus, you know, and she's always played with religion and all that kind of stuff. And I get what she's trying to say about him. Like, he was a rebel too, and so am I, and whatever. But then these pictures popped up of like Martin Luther King and I want to say Malcolm X was one of them too. Like, they were Rebel Hearts too. And it's like, no, maybe don't do that right now. Because those were like we're still struggling with the same problem. Like, just maybe no to that. Because I feel like it can be, I'm not, if you're a religious person, try to hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying Jesus wasn't a real person, like, I understand that, but these are real people that were with us in the last, you know, 100 years. And I don't feel you can speak for them, you know. And I feel like what Madonna was trying to do was say, I am influenced by people who are rebels, who work for justice. I totally get that she thinks that, that that's what she's saying. So she's dressing them up to look like her album cover. But what it comes off as is like, I am in the league with Martin Luther King. You're like, no, no. For some reason, it's funnier when, if it's read that she thinks she's in the league as Jesus, because I think a lot of celebrities, like I'm talking icon, that kind of celebrity status where you're just untouchable. I feel like those people do think, they do have a God complex. It's not that crazy. But don't have a Martin Luther King complex. There's enough trouble in the world without doing that. So anyway, so everyone's upset about that. But it brought into question like, oh, I bet it's just her PR company. But I feel like if I had a PR company doing my stuff, I would make sure I'd want to like approve it before they sent it out. You know, like, maybe that Madonna's just too busy. But I also have a feeling that she also would have totally been like, yeah, we should totally put that up. Whatever. Great. Wow, what is this? Sociopolitical Hour with Jen Kirkman. It's so fascinating. You should teach at a college. Oh, I feel bad. I did something at one of my shows that I feel really bad about. So I can kind of feel when I get out on stage if the audience is hot or not. If I just do my act without improvising, that means that I don't feel the audience is hot. So if you've seen me more than once and you didn't see me improvise or talk to the crowd that much, it means I'm not getting a good vibe from them. It doesn't mean I think they don't like me, but it means like they really need to be. It's like putting a child to bed or feeding a child. And I know this for, I did babysit. I'm not just speaking out of my ass. Where you're like, I can't fuck around here. Like, I got to get them so that they go to sleep or that they eat. There's going to be no extra stuff right now. So when I'm playing around and talking to an audience and they're laughing, like I had this really great show on Friday night at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte. Shout out to everyone who works there. Ooh, ooh. They're really, really great there. I love the staff. And the early show was great. The audience, the early shows are always a little better, you know, people are less tired. But there were three couples sitting in the front row. One was just dating, one was engaged, and one was married. And it was hilarious, the body language. The dating people, like the girl was in the guy's lap. It literally looked like, and she had a skirt on, it looked like she could have been sitting on his penis. It literally looked like he was inside her. I mean, it was crazy. Then the engaged couple, they were both facing the stage, sitting at the same side of the table, facing me, and they had their arms around each other. So like a little less contact, but intimate. And the married couple were sitting at a table next to the stage, facing across from each other like they were speed dating and like zero intimacy at all. And I thought it was very funny. And so I came out and I asked each couple what their status was and explained to the audience from my point of view, like, you know, what, they're not groundbreaking observations, but like that's dating, that's engaged, that's married. And then I was like, I always like to tell the engaged people that I'm divorced. It makes everyone laugh. I'm like, oh, we'll talk about that later. And it was just fun. And we're talking and I got to throw in some of my jokes that usually go later in my act, but like use it like I'm talking to them. And it's just fun comedian stuff, right? So I'm kind of feeling the same way about the second show, trying to talk to the front row. And I came out and this girl had a broken leg and I was like, is that a broken leg? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, thank God it's not like permanent because then I've already ruined it. You know, just joking. I talked to some married couple up front that looked like Muffy and Buffy from like the country club. Like they were literally like they look like these, they should live in Connecticut and just like run the Episcopalian church fair or something. So I was talking to them for a minute. And then obviously the whole front row was like couples. And then there was a table of three women. So like jokingly, I was like, are you guys all married to each other or something? And the girls were laughing and they're like, no, this is our teacher. And I go, your teacher? And the whole audience laughed. So it's kind of like, I don't know what the audience was thinking, but at least at the very least, we know this. It's funny to go to a comedy show at 10:30 at night with your teacher, right? Doesn't seem like a thing you should do. They weren't young. The girls were probably like, I don't know, maybe they're in college, like 20, 21. The teacher was probably my age. And so I said, well, that's kind of, oh, so I said, well, don't act like you can't be married just because it's your teacher. That kind of shit happens all the time, you know, and they laughed, haha. So I wasn't saying it about them. I was just, whatever. And then I said, what kind of teacher are you? And she hesitated and I go, don't say sex ed. And everyone started laughing. And I don't even know what I'm implying at this point. I'm just saying stupid shit, right? And then she goes, no, I teach health and PE. I go, that's mean sex ed. Okay, so we get a laugh on that. So I go, I'm just putting it out there that takes balls to be the female gym teacher and to take two girls out to a comedy show late at night because this is a small town. We're in Charlotte. They have Billy Graham Highway. I'm like, this town will be talking. I'm like, you know, this woman took her students out and she never married, but she always hung around with the two girls. I was just going on and on. Wasn't implying it would be bad if you were gay. I wasn't implying she's fucking these kids and that. I was just, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just babbling. Now, could I have gone a different route and been like, okay, so I think it sounds like you're a sex ed teacher, but you don't want to admit it. Well, girls, you're going to learn more tonight than anything in class. You know, whatever. I could have said that. Didn't come to me. It just came to me now. So then I do the show and I'm feeling a vibe from that table. Like they are completely shut down for the rest of the show. And then at the end of the show, I thank everyone. Oh, thanks for letting me talk to you and you and you. And I go, thank you. And the woman, the teacher, was just shaking her head like, no. And she looked so upset. And I was like, oh my God. I go, oh no, you're really angry, aren't you? And she nodded yes. And I was like, I'm so sorry. But I was saying this like over the applause. So like, I don't think everyone could hear me. And I got off stage and I'm like, oh, I feel so shitty because if I meant to insult someone, at least that would be one thing. Like I could stand by it, I guess. You know, like if there was a bigot in the crowd or a homophobe, I could insult them and go, I meant to because your lifestyle is abhorrent and you make people suffer. But this woman never did anything wrong, and I don't have the attitude of people sitting in the front row are fair game, and I don't fuck with people in the front row, and I try not to make laughs at their expense. I try to always bring it back around, and I'm laughing the whole time. I'm not, like, angry or saying it in a tone or anything like that, but I realize, like, maybe it is a small town, and maybe that has been a problem that's happened where people think she's weird because she's hanging out with these girls, and maybe they're all lesbians, and maybe they're the only three lesbians in the fucking town, and they need to support each other. Like, I don't know. You know, I just felt bad because obviously I'm on their side in life, and but I just couldn't stop talking, and it made me feel bad. And part of me is like, listen, we're all here joking, and I hope that it's clear that I'm coming from the side of there is absolutely no problem with you guys being here and sitting there, and I'm just making shit up. But whatever. So anyway, I just feel bad. It made me feel bad after. And I was like, I think she's going to... I would hate that to ruin somebody's... you know, like I don't want to go to comedy anymore. But anyway. So... I apologize. I'm sure she's listening. Okay. So what did I want to talk to today? Okay, so my New York jaunt is over. When I fly back, when I get on an airplane next, which I think by the time you hear this, I will have already done it. I'll be back in LA, which I'm only going to be back in for 2 days, 24 hours, 48 hours. And it's just going to be every appointment possible for my back, a couple of meetings I have to go to, and then I have like 10 boxes of stuff that I shipped back to myself. So it's going to be opening boxes, unpacking, doing laundry, packing again, because then I have to leave Wednesday morning to go to Oklahoma, and then I go to Dallas. And then I'm home for 12 hours, and then I go back to New York, and then I go to Atlanta. So this month is redonk. But not complaining. It's just crazy. I have to keep it together. So did I tell you about drunk history? No, I didn't. Okay, so I did a drunk history last week. So I'm not having any alcohol for the month of January. Not that it's like hard for me. Like I've easily just don't drink for 3 weeks and I don't even notice. But because my job takes place in venues where they serve alcohol and I'm going to drink. It's going to be annoying conversation after annoying conversation. Like, no. I might just be like, I'm sober. Like I might just be like, I went to AA, like just to get people to shut the fuck up. But, I gained so much weight in New York that I need to lose it. But luckily, it's the kind of weight that you gain when you eat too much, have too much salt, and don't really exercise. Like, it's not like I was living by the books, eating well, drinking a lot of water, and being like, holy shit, I gained 15 pounds anyway. Like, it's not like I got to go get my thyroid tested. I know what I did. So now I just begin the de-bloat, and, you know, that just means, like, no sugar, no gluten if I can avoid it, and no alcohol, right? So that in itself will just kind of slim you down when you need to, because I'm taping my comedy special on the 31st, and I don't want to look... That thing is going to be up there for a long time, and I don't want to look back on it. Well, I'll never watch it, but I don't want to look at it and go like, ugh! You know what I'm saying? So anyway... my New York trip is over, I went to do my fifth, and I know I always say this, final drunk history, but, I mean, if they do more, I probably would. It's tough. It's one of those things where it's like, I think I did say this last time, like, the thing has been going on for so long, and people still say to me, I love your drunk history episode. I'm like, I've done four of them since 2007, you know, like, it takes people so long to find out who you are. So who am I to stop doing them when every year it brings in new people and they come to shows because of it? Then I have to deal with the annoying questions. Are you really drunk? It's like, dudes, the information is out there. It never even dawned on us that people would ever question whether we were drunk. Like, yes, why would that be funny if we were pretending? I don't understand it. But and then you have to deal with people thinking that's what you're like. Like, I want to drink with you. I'm like, you actually don't. If you drinking with me looks like having like lots of wine with lots of food at dinner. And like, I'm going to make you talk about, you know, the protests. Like, it's not fun. I'm not like, woo. And anytime I do accidentally drink too much, like if I haven't eaten enough and I have two drinks, then I kind of go into space zone where I'm no longer in control of my decisions. And there isn't a voice in my head that says, don't have that third one. Then I'll have a third one. And then I start dancing. And it's not fun. It's like I'm acting like an idiot. So you don't want to drink with me because I don't drink to drunkenness. I'm like a wine person and I like wine with food. So it's not fun. Just trust me. Just enjoy me where you enjoy me. On the TV, on the stage. Otherwise, I will only let you down. Now, in real life, I think people who know me in real life like me. But that's because they weren't introduced to me first on a TV or the stage. Does that make sense? So they don't have some preconceived notion of how fun I must be. They met me with no expectations, and they got like 1% more than a bore. And they're like, okay, that's pretty cool. Okay. I'm in the 1%. I'm in 1% more interesting than a bore. So here's how this drunk history went. This was the craziest thing of all. So I have to fly to Miami to do it because they were shooting some stuff in Miami. But I was the only narrator that was going to be there. And my episode doesn't have anything to do with Miami, but one of the other ones does. So I can't say what my episode is. I'm not allowed to. But so I'm supposed to fly down Monday, January 5th. My flight is at like 8 a.m. from New York to Miami. So Saturday, I get a stomach flu. Now, I get it once a year. I honestly don't even think I had a virus. I think my body was like, stop it. You've been eating shit you never eat for 2 months. I seriously can't take it anymore. Imagine you were having like a food fight with someone. Like my body was like, no, you take this food. Like I'm not taking it anymore. And so I had that awful, queasy, I'd had what I would call low-grade nausea. Like I felt car sick all week for no reason. And then Saturday, like here it comes, that when you're looking like a cat with a hairball, you're just like, no, like, you know, it's going to feel good. Like just throw up, let it happen, let nature happen. But you're like, no, I don't want to admit that this is happening. So just like bleh, throwing up. And, I was like, well, I'm sick. And I couldn't tell if I had a fever or not. And I didn't know what was happening. And I almost packed a thermometer to bring with me on the trip, but I was like, oh, if I'm sick, I'll go to, you know, a pharmacy. But that makes no sense, because when you feel that way, you don't want to get up and go to a pharmacy. So I was like, whatever. If I start to feel delirious, I'll know I have a fever. But so then I go to sleep, wake up Sunday morning, and I'm like, oh, I think I feel better. And then I sat up, and I'm like, no, I don't. Like, whoa, like just dizzy and whatever. So then I'm laying in bed just like panting and breathing and going like, how do I handle the day? And I'm like, I could sign up for one of those online delivery services that's going to, like, all I wanted was a toasted bagel with butter and, like, Gatorade and ginger ale. That's when I'm nauseous, that's what I like. And so I could have signed up for one of those online things, but I'm like, oh, my God, then I have to get up, do a password, put all this info in. Like, it would be so much easier if I just went around the corner to the deli. And I'm like, Jen, you can do it. And I laid in bed psyching myself up for 2 hours. I'm like, the cold air will feel so good. It'll feel so good. So I get up and I go outside and I'm like assaulted with this warm, balmy air in Brooklyn. I'm like, the fuck is going on? It made me feel more sick. So then I go into the deli, which no one is ever in. And there's like 9 billion people. And by the time I got to the counter, I knew I was going to throw up again. And I was like, a bagel. And then I got basically to the front door of where I was staying, and I threw up on the sidewalk, and I was like, this is no good. It's Sunday and I have to be on a plane tomorrow to drink. And I was like, this is the worst. So then I drank just like bottles and bottles of Gatorade, and then I drank this ginger juice, and then I had some water, and I was just like laying on the couch sweating. And so finally, the only thing getting me through, so I started watching the show Transparent, which is amazing. And I love Jill Soloway. I've I've known her for a long time in LA. We used to do a lot of storytelling shows together, and we worked on a project once together, and it's just so genius. I'm so happy for her. So anyway, I'm watching that, and then I kind of get so hooked on that I can't go to sleep. So I watched like all 10 episodes in one day, and then around 1 a.m. I fell asleep, and I had to get up at 5. So that was fun. So I get up at 5, and all I'm thinking is, like, this is a breeding ground for getting sick, like catching a cold or the flu. Like, I haven't slept. I have a stomach flu. Now I'm getting on a plane. Then I'm going to drink alcohol. Like, no. This has to be the last thing I do that's unhealthy. And then the rest of the month has to just be, like, vegetables, fruits, vitamins, working out, no alcohol, all the water in the world. Like, that's it. I will not put anything bad into my body right now. So I get up, and I know this is gross, but I don't know why. I was saying this to a friend. I was like, why is diarrhea less gross to talk about than saying, like, I want to go take a dump right now? Like, there's something empathetic about diarrhea where it's like, you don't see it as poop. You just see it as like someone is sick in their butt, you know? To me, it's the same as throw up, but from a different place. But it's different than pooping, because I never want to talk about pooping. And when I have a boyfriend again, I don't want to be like, you know, when I'm at that level of like, okay, like, let's go on a trip together. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, you know, while you're brushing your teeth, I'll sit on the toilet and poop. Like, no, still going to go to the lobby and pretend I don't poop. But if I had diarrhea, I would be like, honey, I'm sick. I have diarrhea. I'm in the bath. I don't know why I see that as different. So anyway, I guess it's because it's something that happens to you as opposed to something that's part of you all the time. Whatever. We're all filled with shit every 2 seconds. But I really feel like the secret to life is just not revealing it. So I get up. And my stomach feels queasy, and I'm like, holy shit, if I throw up, like, I'm fucked. And I didn't tell Derek in advance, like, I have a stomach flu, so I don't know what's going to happen. I didn't want to stress him out. So I go to the bathroom, and you might as well just put a faucet in my butt. I just water coming out. I'm like, okay. So I'm just clearly dying. And so then I was like, okay, I feel like it's all gone. I think I can do this. And I didn't want to take Imodium AD because I kind of feel like you should let that stuff just come out. And like, I obviously couldn't get any at that moment either. So I get to the airport. I'm fine. I'm eating saltines and ginger ale. I get on the plane. I'm exhausted, thank God. So I just fall asleep. I wake up as they're like, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be beginning our descent. And I'm like, uh-oh, here we go again. And I ran to... when you tape something for a TV show, they have to fly you first class because it's like in the after union rules or whatever. So luckily I was first class. So odds are no one is in the bathroom as opposed to when 30 rows of people have to share two bathrooms. So I run to the bathroom and it's waterworks again. And I'm like, it's like that feeling of like, this is never going to stop until my intestines actually come out. And I die. Like, I'm like a balloon slowly being deflated. And the stewardess is knocking on the door going, ma'am, you have to get out. We're landing soon. You've been in there a while. And I'm like, and I just go, it's an emergency, which I feel like is the wrong word to say on a plane. Like, that might be what a terrorist would say when, you know, like, this is an emergency. I don't think that's what they say, but, so it was awful. And then, you know, whatever. I got myself back to my seat. The plane landed. I ran into the airport bathroom. Same situation. I'm like, this has got to stop. It was at that point just amusing. I'm like, oh, who knows anymore what's going to happen. So then I get in the car and it's like, you know, they've hired like a driver for the day to drive, you know, the crew and the stuff around. So this woman picks me up. I don't even know her. And I'm like, I'm so sorry it took me 20 minutes from getting my bag to get to the car. I'm like, I have a stomach flu and I'm doing the opposite of throwing up, if you know what I mean. She's like, oh, I got it. Like, I don't need to tell this woman that, but I had to because I was so afraid that I just wanted to get it out there. So then we go to the hotel, a shower. We all, the crew and Derek and I go to lunch. this. Now I'm in Hollywood, Florida. We drove to Hollywood, Florida. Such a gorgeous beach. It's such a beautiful day. I'm not even appreciating the warm weather. I didn't bring any warm weather clothes, so I'm in like wool pants and a t-shirt and like, you know, leather booties. And so then we're sitting at lunch and I just got hot tea and a grilled cheese sandwich. I know cheese probably wasn't what I should do, but in my mind it was going to act like glue and it was going to just make everything better. And so I just kept eating. I got mashed potatoes. I was like, I feel like this will stop it. I don't know why. But I was like, I don't feel well, and I don't think I can drink a lot. And the thing I thought that was going to happen was that I was just going to be so sick that it would look like I was drunk anyway. And, but that didn't happen. So I get back. So then we go to the house that was rented out, and I have my waterworks one more time. And then I'm like, okay, somebody has to go get me some Imodium AD. So they sent someone out. Now just the whole crew is talking about diarrhea. And then finally, they come back with it. And I'm like, I'm going to take it tonight if this keeps happening. And I got down on my knees and I said, I don't know who is out there. There are more important things. But God, if you can hear me, you got to get me through this without shitting myself. I don't have a change of clothes, and just help me get through this. And that was it. I started to drink my Pinot Grigio, and I did. That was it. That was the end of the sick. I didn't get sick again from any orifice. I had a few drinks, got drunk rather quickly, because I hadn't really eaten anything, and every time I ate, you know what happened to it. So, once again, it wasn't as much alcohol this time, but we did it a little better this time, where we started filming right when I started drinking, pretty much. Usually I drink for a few hours before, and it's like I have way too much alcohol than I need. So this time I definitely was drunk, but I kind of, my memory is a little spotty, and same thing. I'm like, I don't feel like I did a good job. I wonder if I didn't get the story out. Was I passionate? Did I say any funny extraneous things? I don't know. And then all I remember is, you know, I took Derek out. I said, I need a break. And I'm like, Derek, we have to go to the patio and talk. And I'm like, I need to do a good job. There's a legacy of this show. You know, I was going crazy. And then, there was a pool there. I'm like, I think if we jump in the pool, that will be funny. So we jumped in the pool with our clothes on, and I did. I don't even know what will air, if that they were just doing that to appease me, but there was some swimming with clothes on involved, and it was all on tape, film, whatever. And then I feel like that was like a baptism after my prayer. And then, so my clothes were ruined, and then someone went out and bought like XXL t-shirts. So I just wore a black t-shirt, like a mini dress. And I went back to the hotel that way with black makeup running down my face. And I'm sure the people working the front desk were like, what the fuck? But yeah, I went back to my room, and miracle of miracles, no hangover the next day. Just a little bit of that, I don't want the sunlight feeling. But I also think that could have been the flu, and I was so tired. But I drank so much water that, and Gatorade and all that. So I really think that helped. I usually cannot be told to drink water when I'm drunk, because I'm an annoying drunk. As I said, again, it's not fun if they should show you what I'm like, not during the filming, like not during the funny things I end up saying. They're like, drink water. I'm like, no, I don't need to. But I already knew going into it, I need to drink water or I'll get more sick. So I think that was the difference this time. So anyway, blah, blah, great story. And then I flew back that night and got to the airport. The flight was delayed by like 2 hours, like 1 hour late taking off. Then we landed in New York and we didn't have like a gate to go to. But everyone was so tired, like no one was freaking out. Like the pilot kept being like, I'm optimistic. I think it's going to be 5 minutes. And we're like, yeah, whatever. We've heard this before. But, you know, it was like an hour later. It was totally fine though. But So then, so that was my last night in the Airbnb. So the, my actual last night in New York, I spent in a hotel just so it would be easier to, get to the airport and stuff like that. And when I got back to my Airbnb at like 1 a.m, everything was packed and ready to go. And I felt sad. I was like, I want to be in a hotel right now. So I called the hotel and I was like, hey, I'm supposed to check in the morning, but what if I came right now? Is this at all possible? And I was going to offer to pay for it. And the guy was like, oh my God, I know you from Chelsea Lately. Cause I stay at this hotel a lot. And I've, one of the front desk guys is a big Chelsea Lately fan. And so it was actually him that I called, not knowing that I was calling him or that he was still working there. And he's like, come now. I won't charge you. I won't charge you. So I got my things and I went in to stay at this hotel, which I won't say what it is because he'll probably get in trouble for doing that. And then, but as I'm checking in, I'm like so tired. I have slept like 3 hours in a day. And he's like, so what are you doing now that the show's over? I feel so bad for you guys. I'm like, oh my God, just stop. I'm just trying to, but you know what? That's the price I pay for getting to check in at 2 a.m. So I went to bed for a good, good long time and then just stayed. It was like, so the next day was the coldest day so far of the year in New York, like negative wind chill temperatures. People just screaming like, ah, walking around the corner because it's so cold. Again, I was amused by it. And it didn't bother me. And I'm like, what is fucking wrong with me? What is happening to me? I used to hate cold weather. And I'm not saying I like it or prefer it, but I don't mind it being in my mix. As we look at what a year looks like, if you're like, you have to have 60 days of biting cold weather, I'm like, all right. I don't know what that is. I think it has something to do with, again, when I left New York the first time, I was 27, full of energy, need it nice out all the time. And now I'm like, oh, good, it's cold out. I can stay inside and no one will judge me. You know, I think that's honestly like the benefit of seasons. I'm not talking about, it's just so pretty. I just mean, sometimes it feels good to go with what nature seems to be telling you, which is go back to fucking bed. So, and I got some writing done. This book is almost done, almost done, almost done. But yeah, so that was my last kind of days in New York. And the Airbnb experience is very interesting. Like, it's definitely worth it if you're having an extended stay. Like, there's no way I could have afforded to stay in a hotel for 6 weeks, you know? So it was really, really cool. And I got really lucky with this place. And maybe I just have a good eye for picking things out. I mean, give myself some credit, you know? Why are you so rude to that guy at the hotel? Oh, my God. How did you get to Charlotte, North Carolina?
What do you mean, how did I get here? How did you get here? Oh, can I have some of this? What are you doing? I want some. What's in your fridge? Oh, my God, there's no mini bar in this place?
No, it's not that kind of hotel. It's like they have like a 24-hour like thing downstairs, but this is like, it's not a mini bar kind of hotel.
It's like a downgrade from where you normally stay.
No, it's closest to the comedy club, and it. Sometimes I stay in like a chic place. Sometimes I stay in like a, you know, real fancy place. Sometimes I stay in like more of a, you know, like whatever, like an extended stay place. It's like a little suite, like whatever. Okay. Why are you getting so upset? I'm not. I'm just trying to figure out how you got to North Carolina.
I go a lot of places. I'm on break right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. So what were you saying? Why was I so rude to the...
Yeah, why were you so rude to that guy at the hotel? It's like he let you check in and he says he feels bad for you, which is like such a nice thing. Like a total stranger feels bad for you because you don't have a job anymore.
I know, but do you understand? Like that's what makes me crazy is... People don't know anything about, like, it's so twofold because people don't even know that I worked on Chelsea Lately for 45 hours a week. They think I just appeared on the round table. And if they think that is losing a job, like, they're wrong. And I do have a job. I'm here. I'm writing a book. I'm on the road. I'm taping a special. I filmed a pilot for something else. I'm going to see if that's picked up. I have like 10 jobs. None of them that I could do if I was working full-time, which is why it's
was a wonderful experience, and now it is over. And I don't need people feeling bad for me when I check into their hotel, which if I didn't have a job, how would I be able to afford them? I don't know. I'm just asking, like, you could have just said to him, like, thanks. It's because of you that I even have a career. Well, I'm not going to talk. Like, I'm not Justin Bieber. Like, it's all about the fans. Like, sometimes it's, you know, I'm glad people like what I do. I can't do it without people liking what I do. But I'm not going to tell the guy at the front desk that it's because of him that I have a career. That's not even, there's like so many elements that make that up. Okay, whatever. I'm just saying, like, a lot of people think you're really ungrateful. And, like, I'm serious. Like, even though I say fuck the haters, I feel like the haters mean that I read this thing that says when people hate you, it's good. I think you mean more like if people, if some of the people don't like you, you're doing something right. Like, that's kind of the, I think the notion is that it means that enough people know you that odds are some aren't going to like you. And it also means, like, maybe you stand for something. I don't know. I mean, that's not quite it. But what I think you need to be grateful for hateful. I'm sorry, what? Be grateful for hateful. Because your haters are actually what keeps you going. They motivate you to do better. No, they don't. That is not what motivates me at all. What motivates me is people that like me. I want to keep doing better so that they are not getting ripped off by me. I don't want to charge someone a lot of money for a ticket and then just phone it in because I know they already like me. Haters don't make me want to do better because now you're presuming that the haters are correct in their opinion that I suck. And it's not a right or wrong. They don't like me, so to them I suck. But it doesn't mean I suck and I should try to do better. I'm just saying, like, I'm really into, like, a new thing for 2015, which is, like, grateful for the hateful. Okay, well, that's... Do you ever ask me anything about myself? Yeah, I asked you how you got to North Carolina. But, like, maybe I have a reason that I have this philosophy. Maybe I have haters, too, since you fucking let everyone know who I am on this podcast and you won't stop talking about me. Oh, my God, we went through this. You're the one who won't stop fucking showing up. Do you understand how crazy that you made? Love the haters! Did you say love the haters? Oh, my God. Sorry about that. I didn't think she was going to come around anymore. What the fuck was I talking about? Oh, okay. So I also talked to people about traveling. And people are just like, oh, I hate traveling, blah, blah, blah. But that's because people only travel once in a while. Like, when you have to do it every week, like, you get into the groove. You get a rhythm. Like, this morning, I was laying in bed. I had some road insomnia where I wanted to sleep until 11 because I had gone to bed at 3. Not out late doing anything. I just got back from the show and couldn't fall asleep. Of course, I woke up at, like, 9. And I'm in bed, and I'm watching, like, YouTube tutorials on packing because I always want to be even better packer than I already am. And I was like, I use, like, compression things and whatever. But then there's these things, packing cubes, and I've always wanted to try them out, but I put everything in little packs and sacks, but there's a specific thing called packing cubes. So watching tutorials on them, I got some, super psyched to try them out. And I'm like, okay, that's fun to do. I feel like it would be fun if I gave travel tips. Now, what I need everyone to stop saying is people are like, oh my God, how do you not get sick being in that recycled air on the airplane? That is a myth, recycled air in the airplane. All air, if your inside is recycled, it is no different than anything else. And it's filtered and it's not like it's shooting. If you get sick on an airplane, it's because of this. If you get sick at all, it's because of this. Your gut, not your fat gut, but your gut intestinally. If your probiotics aren't up and your flora is not healthy, it's not going to be able to fight infection. So it all starts there, right? So if you're on an airplane and a few days before the flight, you're eating a lot of sugar and you're drinking a lot of alcohol and you haven't had any sleep and you're eating like shit and you're eating a lot of cheese. Like, all that is just going to make your immune system decrease, right? So you got to get on the plane with a good immune system. Second thing is, people always say they get a cold. But it's actually, I was reading an article about it, okay, on ABC News. The air is, in fact, quite healthy because of the excellent cabin air filters, said Joe Lundquist, an air filtration expert. Well, of course, he works for the company, but I do believe this. We've gone through great studies to prove that they effectively remove the bacteria and viruses that people are so concerned about. Being on a plane packed with people coughing or sneezing near you is the reason you can catch colds. So that's what it is. So when someone sneezes next to you, it can go in your whatever. So I would do this, everybody, in this. And I don't even believe in saying cold and flu season. I think, like, at the very least, let's control our minds and not give in to the fact that we'll probably get sick this time of year. So I would say get on the plane. This is how I travel. If I check my luggage, these are what my carry-ons look like. I have a waist bag, a belt bag, a fanny pack, but it's not the shitty nylon kind. It's like faux leather with gold buckles. It's really cute. So that's around my waist. In that, I have my license and my travel credit card so that when I get to the airport, if I have to go to the kiosk, I do the thing, and I put my boarding pass in there. Then inside that is tissues, hand sanitizer, antibacterial wipes, Neosporin, the stuff called Ocean, which is a saline nasal spray, mints, my earplugs, and, you know, like my Klonopin. So all stuff that if I'm in my seat, I can get easily. In my purse is my wallet and telephone. And I always travel with eye shades and eye mask because sunglasses sometimes don't cut it on those daytime flights if you want to sleep. And if I can fit it, like a big wrap scarf, which I can use as a blanket or just to put around my neck if it's cold. And then I have my laptop bag, which just has my laptop and maybe a magazine. Okay, so that's, and it's, everything is light. And so if I have to put stuff above my head, I at least have that fanny pack thing in my lap. Okay. When I get on the plane, this is true. They do not disinfect or wash the planes between every flight. So I get on, and before I touch anything, I wipe my armrests, and I wipe the tray in front of me, and I wipe the seatbelt. Then I put on hand sanitizer. Then I spray the saline in my nose, so when your nasal passages are moist, it's harder for them to be susceptible to virus. So I spray those in my nose, and then I take a little dab of Neosporin, and I put it on the outside of my nostrils, and even just get a little bit in there at the base. That's an old flight attendant trick, which it might be more placebo, but it makes you feel like, ain't no germs getting in this nose because I have Neosporin on it. And then that's it. And, you know, sure, drink emergency if it makes you feel better. Keep hydrating. And you should be good. I mean, that's all I can say. So that's travel tips from Jen for how not to be miserable on a flight. So anyway, but I'm going through I'm going through TSA at JFK Airport, and there was this guy who was like an older man, like speaking Yiddish at me. He's like, it's Meshuggah. This is crazy. He's like, are you hiring? Are you hiring? I have a degree. I used to work at Goldman Sachs. He's like, now I'm retired. He's like, I can't deal. He goes, he's stamping my like ticket. He goes, I swear to God, in my next life, the only government employee I want to see is a mailman. He's like, morons of America here, honey, morons of America. But he was a TSA agent. And I'm like, this guy's unhinged, but he was hilarious. But I was like, he will. Like, this guy's going to listen to Ray of Light and push someone. Like, this guy's off his rocker. But I found him to be very funny and very charming. But I was just wondering, like, imagine you have to work with someone like that all fucking day. Like, you can't even, like, put your headphones on and tune out in your cubicle. Like, you have to stand next to him and, like, stamp passports. And you're just like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like, I found him charming and amusing. But I only walked by him for 2 seconds and it brightened my 6 a.m. morning, whatever the fuck weird time I was on. So the Airbnb thing was interesting. The guy that I rented from seemed like a nice guy. Only met him over email, you know. But I was laughing at, like, I'm such a dick. I'm just such a dick, what I'm about to say. I'm such a dick. But I know that you have to put, like, things in the neighborhood that people should do, you know. Which is great. But there was so much more in the neighborhood that he didn't mention in the Airbnb, like, ridiculous good restaurants in the neighborhood, really amazing, like, specialty food shops, you know, a laundromat right around the corner, dry cleaner, whatever. Even, like, a health juice, like, they make the juice in front of you place, you know, whatever. Okay. So on his Airbnb description, he's like, really cool place, right near this place, Milk Bar in Brooklyn. You know, it's Australian. They make the best coffee in the world, which Australia does make the best coffee, but this coffee shop, it blows. I'm telling you. I have been to Australia twice. I have had the coffee, especially in Melbourne, it's superior. Milk Bar in Brooklyn ain't getting it right. There's just something weird about it. So anyway, but he writes, go there and tell them I sent you. And I'm like, no fucking way these people know who he is, especially if he lives there like a month a year. Like, am I really going to walk in and go, oh, hi, Johnny sent me. I'm sorry, what? Oh, Johnny sent me. I'm sorry, are you trying to do like a weird drug deal or something? No, he's like a regular here. I don't know who the fuck Johnny is. You know, 10 people are named Johnny. Oh, okay, cool. Can I have a flat white? Like, who's going to do that? It just, there's this like bravado of like Airbnb people. Like, let me tell you, I know the neighborhood. And it's like, you actually don't because you're never fucking there, which is why you're Airbnb-ing it. And so, but like, why do I care about that? Because I'm a dick. That's why, because I am a dick. And so then he had some other thing, like, so he had a TV that had Apple TV capabilities. So you could watch Netflix and stuff like that, or cable, you know, whatever. But he didn't have like regular TV, so I couldn't like put on CNN or NBC, which was no problem because I wasn't planning on sitting and watching TV. But that was just because that was the kind of vacation that I was having, which was a working vacation where I was never home. And I'm, you know, a modern woman who watches things on her computer, such as Transparent, as I told you. So, you know, I can lay in bed and watch it. But instead of just writing, like, I don't have TV available for you guys, but you do have Apple and you can do this and you can do that. He goes, no TV in this place. He's like, wouldn't make any sense as there's too much to do in New York City. Like, oh, shut the fuck up. That's not why you don't have a TV. It's because it's cheaper not to. And if that's fine too. But don't shame your possible renters for wanting to stay in one night and watch TV. I mean, it's pretty normal standard practice to lay in bed in your hotel and watch television like as you're falling asleep. It's sort of like a luxury. Like, there's too much to do. Like, you're right. It's 2 a.m. Let me get out of bed and try to get a hooker on the Bowery. Like, dude, sometimes you can watch a little TV. Let's calm down. Like, if you really thought that, then you would have no TV at all. You would be like, sorry, this is a television-free zone. I'm only leaving copies of the arts and entertainment section from the New York Times and, that's it. Like, just that weird thing when people get rid of their cable just to have, like, the Apple TV or the whatever. No problem. Like, it's the future. Like, yeah, great. It does save you a lot of money, especially if you don't watch a lot of TV. But don't act like, oh, I'm so busy. That's why I'm doing stuff all the time. I'm just out there taking in the arts. You're not even going to the right coffee shop, dude. But otherwise, it was lovely, and I would never write that in my review. I just needed to tell you guys, because once again, I am a dick. So that's what's going on this week. Man, did we cover a lot. Again, I'm still getting back into the groove of podcasting. And I feel like my little asides and my funny charms that make me, they're not like coming back out yet. But we're going to get there. Okay. I just agreed to an offer that I got that involves Australia. That involves me being there for quite an extended period of time. That involves me going to multiple cities. They have been decided. It is part of a thing that already exists. Don't say, come here, come there. Where I'm going is where I'm going. I cannot go off the beaten path and just rent out a theater in Australia and people show up. It is what it is, is what it is. I'm covering enough ground that I hope if I'm somewhere near you, you can come see me. Because Lord knows, I will have come from a land far away. You can make a 45-minute drive. Okay, not why am I mad at the Australians already? I shouldn't be. I'm super fucking excited. I'm a little nervous. I've never been out of the country that long, let alone halfway off the planet that long. But, oh well. So anyway, I'll make that announcement when I am positive about that. And what else is happening? I guess I'll just do the plugs at the beginning of the show. And don't fast forward through them. If you did, will you go back and listen? Because I might be coming to your town. I got announcements for Dallas, Philly, Austin, Oklahoma City, Atlanta. So please go back and listen so that you can support me. Okay. Also, don't forget this. I'm going to say this. A great way to support the podcast is to purchase stuff in the store. So the I Seem Fun mugs are here, t-shirts, posters. If you go to jenkirkman.com, click on merch, you can get everything there. It is the only way I make money off this podcast. I still don't make enough for what I put out, but that's okay. No one's fault or anything. No, I'm not upset. I'm just saying the more the merrier. Just buy something. It'll make my day. Now, the other thing is, too, I do have someone looking at the emails and stuff, and I am getting the reports. I've just been a little overwhelmed with stuff, and I had enough stuff on my own to talk about that I didn't, I haven't combed through the emails that I want to read, but I will do that. I will put some emails in next time. But it's time to sign off right now. So, thank you guys. And to all the I Seem Funners who came to my shows in Charlotte, thank you. It was super fun. I think some of you tried to start a standing ovation on the Late Show Friday. I was about to kill myself of embarrassment because nobody else wanted to, but I appreciate the gesture. Oh my God, it's hilarious. So that's it. Okay, until next week, please have fun.